If you have ever attended a church service where the Lord's Supper was observed, you probably noticed that a tray of individual cups or drinking vessels were used to distribute the fruit of the vine to the people that were present. Did you ever wonder exactly where and when that practice began? Did you ever ask yourself the question, is this practice apostolic in nature? Was it actually instituted by the Lord Himself? Or has it come about as a result of change on the part of man? The disciple of Christ can read in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, the 14th chapter of the book of Mark, and the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke, the Bible accounts of the institution of the Lord's Supper, and the account as it was revealed by the Holy Spirit to the Apostle Paul, who in turn delivered it to the Corinthian congregation, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 11. A very careful study of these passages reveal that when Jesus instituted that sacred feast long ago, he used a loaf of unleavened bread to represent his body, which was then blessed and broken by the disciples, and a cup containing the fruit of the vine. The fruit of the vine representing his blood, the cup representing the new covenant or the New Testament, according to Luke chapter 22 and verse 20, and 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 25. Just how long the New Testament church observed the communion in that fashion is unknown. We do know that somewhere around 200 years after the establishment of the church, there is a record indicating that more than one container was used in the distribution of the fruit of the vine. That record also indicates that there were other additions and changes that had been made at that time, changes in the divine pattern. The use of individual cups, however, did not originate in churches connected with the movement that was designed to restore primitive Christianity, but rather with the Reverend Dr. J.G. Thomas, who was both a physician and a minister. He believed that it was unhealthy for a number of people to drink out of the same cup. Hence, the idea for individual drinking vessels came into existence. The first service that we have any record of was held in the Vonsville Congregational Church that was located in Putnam County, Ohio, sometime during the year of 1893. After that time, the Reverend Thomas invented a tray to hold the containers, and in March of 1894 was granted a patent on his invention. The idea became very popular and spread rapidly throughout the country. As people became more conscious of germs and the possible transmission of disease by several drinking out of the same container, this new idea was adopted by more and more churches. Some, however, felt that the sanitation feature was being overplayed, and actually ridicule the necessity of individual drinking cups. In February 1896, in the paper, The Homiletic Review, an article was carried, a rather satirical article, on the subject written by the Reverend Watson J. Young. In that article, Mr. Young described a dream in which he entered what he called the Church of the Holy Dishwasher in the city of Utopia on the Lord's Day. The Reverend Macrobus Basilius was in charge, and in the disinfecting room, the deacons were washing in carbolized water the individual cups used in the service. After washing, they were examined under a microscope to be sure that all the germs were gone. The very foolishness of the article itself was indicative of the contempt with which the individual containers were received by many people in that day and time. In fact, there were a number of denominations that just refused to accept them, simply because they considered them not only to be an addition to the teachings of the Scripture, but they considered the sanitation argument to be unfounded and ridiculous. In the early days of the Restoration Movement, many churches used one cup when they observed the Lord's Supper. Alexander Campbell was in attendance at a congregation where such was the case, and he described it as one of the most beautiful services he ever attended. I quote, "He then took the cup in a similar manner and returned thanks for it and handed it to the disciples sitting next to him who passed it round, each one waiting upon his brother until all were served. Since many of the denominational churches of that day still clung to the practice of using one cup, it was highly unlikely that those who were coming out of sectarianism would take up practices that were obviously a departure from the teachings of the Scriptures. To do so would be an immediate return to the system they were then rejecting. In Nashville, Tennessee, in the Disciples of Christ Historical Society on the first floor, there are a number of large display cases containing items of interest from the early days of the Restoration Movement. There are a number of communion sets that are included in that collection. One is from the Gilboa Christian Church of Cuckoo, Virginia, 1831, probably used from the beginning of the church. This one cup demonstrates the fact that in that day and time, only one container was being used by many of the churches. From the Plum Street Christian Church in Detroit from the early 1800s, there is also one cup on display. From the Central Christian Church in Lexington, Kentucky, there is one cup. And from the Cane Ridge Church in Kentucky, where Barton Stone worshiped, there is one communion goblet. All these indicate the fact that in the early 1800s in America, there were many congregations of disciples that were using but one cup to distribute the fruit of the vine to those who gathered on the Lord's Day to observe the Lord's Supper. It is, of course, inaccurate to teach that in all instances, churches went from the use of one cup for the entire congregation to the use of individual cups. There were obviously some who used more than one, maybe two, others four, and perhaps even eight, which made it, of course, all the more easy to move to the adoption of individual drinking vessels. For after all, as the argument was made, if you can use more than one, then you can use as many as you might like to use, and that certainly was the case. As might be suspected, the first churches to begin using the individual communion sets were those that had already accepted such practices as instrumental music, the societies, the Sunday schools, and various innovations that were popular in that day and time. As early as 1901, the Christian Standard, which was the mouthpiece for the disciples at the turn of the century, carried advertisements for individual communion sets. In the November 2 issue, 1901, there is an ad which read, "Christian cleanliness. Why do you permit a custom at the communion which you would not tolerate in your own home?" There obviously were many people who felt that way, and so the question was asked, "Would you like to know where individual communion cups are used? Send for a free book. It tells all about it." Even a trial outfit was sent free. The company was the Sanitary Communion Outfit Company of Rochester, New York. The article continued with what a prominent pastor writes from Keokuk, Louisiana. He said, "We have used your individual communion cup service two Sundays and are much pleased with it. We have not heard one criticism. All we hear are words of praise. Besides the convenience of the service, it is handsome." Such advertisement caused many churches to adopt the individual communion tray, but not without opposition. One of the early preachers in the church to oppose individual drinking vessels was the honored and revered J.W. McGarvey. On a number of occasions, he wrote articles condemning the practice. In February 1910, McGarvey received a letter of inquiry about the use of cups, and his answers to the questions asked are monumental. "A brother in Pensacola, Florida asked me," he said, "what authority have we for using the single cup in the communion service, as has been the custom of the Christian churches, other than that it is implied in the narratives of the three Gospels?" Brother McGarvey replied, "We have none, but that is enough. On the other hand, we have no authority for doing otherwise. Every divinely appointed ordinance should be observed precisely as divine wisdom has appointed it." So we can see that McGarvey certainly was contending, at least at that time, for the use of the single vessel in the distribution of the fruit of the vine. You may wonder, with such men as McGarvey opposing them, how did individual cups get into the churches of Christ? Brother C.E. Holt of Florence, Alabama, may well have been the first non-instrumental preacher to come out in favor of individual cups. In an article that appeared in the 1911, June 11 issue of the Gospel Advocate, he said, I do not claim that this is the only scriptural way of taking the Lord's Supper, but it is as scriptural as any other way. And besides, it has the advantage of being clean. We are aware that some brethren ridicule the idea that microbes can be transmitted from one to another by the communion cup, yet the weight of authority is against them. So actually, what Brother Holt was saying was that it is scriptural to use individual cups, and probably it is much cleaner and much more sanitary if we do it that way. David Lipscomb, who at that time was editor of the Gospel Advocate, however, was not very easily convinced. He did not believe the sanitation argument, and he did not believe it to be justification for using individual cups. G.C. Brewer held to the idea that individual cups were scriptural long before he attempted to introduce them at Chattanooga, Tennessee, where he was preaching in 1915. About this same time, G. Dallas Smith began to speak out openly for the use of individual drinking vessels. This news caused Brother Brewer to contact both Brother Holt and Brother Smith, the three agreeing to openly advocate the use of individual cups. Being aware of David Lipscomb's opposition and his influence, Brother Brewer made a trip to Nashville, Tennessee to talk the matter over with him. After carefully making his arguments in support of cups on the basis of sanitation, he was disappointed to find that Lipscomb could not be moved. There was, however, a small ray of hope. Lipscomb admitted that he was about to reach the conclusion that cups were in no way a violation of Scripture teaching. Armed with that information, Brewer returned to Chattanooga, feeling a victory had been won. Immediately thereafter, the central church for which he was preaching began using individual cups. Upon seeing Brother Smith, Brewer related the details of his visit to Nashville and the actions of the church in Chattanooga. Smith replied, "By all means, we must get Brother Lipscomb in print on that before it is too late. If you tell this after he is gone, you will not get anyone to believe it, in view of the things he has already written." These men were well aware of the fact that Brother Lipscomb had come out time and time again against the individual cups. In 1915, however, in the January 7 issue of the Gospel Advocate, David Lipscomb wrote that he felt that the use of individual drinking vessels were in no way a violation of New Testament teaching. That seemed to settle the matter with a lot of people. Churches everywhere began to adopt the use of individual drinking vessels. G.C. Brewer, in his book, 40 Years on the Firing Line, takes the credit for being the first preacher to ever advocate the use of individual drinking cups in the churches of Christ, and he declares that the first church, to his knowledge, to ever adopt their use was the Central Church of Christ in Chattanooga, Tennessee, for which he was then preaching. That, my friend, is a brief history of individual drinking vessels among the churches of Christ. They did not originate with the Lord, nor with the Apostle Paul, but rather with such men as C.E. Holt, G. Dallas Smith, and G.C. Brewer. There is no higher authority for their use, for their origin, or for their scripturalness. They are indeed an addition to the Word of God. Think about that the next time you attend a communion service where they are used, and be aware of the fact that you are not following the practice of Jesus, but rather the practice of men.